You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I would have to say Josh Allen, just because I think we've seen him perform better in playoff games against the Chiefs than we've seen Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You go back to that AFC Championship game a couple of seasons ago that was in Baltimore. The Ravens came in rolling. It was their year. They were all set to do it. And they played basically their worst game of the year that day against the Chiefs. Last year in Buffalo, Lamar Jackson goes in there with a team that really hadn't been turning the ball over, and they commit several key turnovers in a loss to Buffalo in the divisional round. Whereas while Josh Allen hasn't gotten over the hump, we've seen him play some masterful games against the Chiefs and in playoff games.
ESPN's Dan Graziano talking there. Who will beat Mahomes first in the playoffs? Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? He goes with Josh Allen there. I think that's a completely reasonable take there, especially his reasoning. Lamar and Baltimore have really stunk up the place at times when they play in the playoffs.
And even when they threatened to come back against Buffalo in the divisional round, why did they have to come back?
Yep, it's early turnovers. It's you put yourself in a hole again. Here we go. Where with Allen, and to a certain extent, most of the Bills, it has been more, they've played really well. You can argue coaching has kind of hurt them a lot. Last year, you know, Kincaid makes the catch. The defense, if it's better talent-wise. But Allen has not really been the problem in most of their playoff losses. Cincinnati at home, the offense was overall pretty
bad. Everyone was bad that day.
Yeah, offense was overall pretty bad.
Which includes Allen. But
yeah.
Everyone was bad that day.
But for the most part, Allen has been dynamite in the playoffs. He's been one of the better playoff performers at any position in football. He's been great. And so on that, we do have a topic of discussion today, 803-0550, the number two call. Buffalo, KC, Baltimore, they are considered the top tier of the AFC. It's why you hear Graziano talking about who's going to beat Mahomes first. It's two quarterbacks they mentioned there, Allen or Lamar. But for this year, who, if anyone, do you think could join that trio at the top of the AFC this year? We've got some responses on Twitter, so we'll get to some of those. Dave goes, the answer that I think I would go to, and that is Denver. You look at Denver last year, Derek, and they were a very, very good defensive football team, and they were starting a rookie quarterback, and they still ultimately, in terms of points scored, were 10th in the NFL.
Right.
Their defense, in terms of points against, third. And I mentioned, you know, they then add a guy like a Ajay Barron, and well, the last time you saw their defense was getting curb stomped by the Bills 31-7. It's their first playoff game. You know, Sean Payton's still kind of getting that team going. I think this year's the year where you start looking at them and go, okay, that's interesting. They went 10-7 last year. Their expected win-loss record, though, was 11-5. So even then, you know, they've kind of got that room to grow even last year. And I think this year, I like Bo Nix a lot last year, and that hurts me to say, because I was not a Bo Nix guy when he was coming out of Oregon, but he looked very good.
He started rough.
Yes, and then really picked it up. That's where I think Jaden Daniels beat him out for Rookie of the Year, realistically, was that Daniels, from week three on, was awesome and had iconic moments for Washington and then even the NFL season itself, where Nix was kind of just, he got reliable, he got stable. And he had good games, but I'd even argue like his best game of the year was against a bunch of Chiefs backups, where he was like 15 for 15 at one point to start the game. Like, he was on fire, and it was against their backups. But Denver is the team this year. I'll give Sean Payton a lot of crap at times, but I think now that he's got his group in there, you're going to start seeing the Sean Payton from the Saints years, the end of the Saints years even. And that could hurt him in the playoffs, don't get me wrong. But I think that could also lead them to beating the Chiefs for the division if things don't go well for the Chiefs. If they continue to really struggle, Denver, I think, is the team they're looking at most. And I think it's mainly that defense.
And the only counter argument that I have with the Chiefs is, how good is Bo Nix really?
Right. Now, because we already saw a sophomore slump. C.J. Stroud, great rookie year. Sophomore year, not so much.
And looking at last year, who did you beat that was noteworthy? Why are your numbers so good?
And we talked about that a lot going into that Bills playoff game.
They beat Tampa, and then their other wins were as follows: Jets, Raiders, Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Raiders, Browns, Colts, backup Chiefs. If I have to be technical, they beat a team with a winning record.
Right.
In that is not Tampa Bay. But that Kansas City team was not trying at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough to even put that. Because we talked about that week with the Chiefs. The Bills were the only team to outright beat them.
Yeah, if I have to get technical, they did beat two teams with winning mm-hmm. records in that moment.
Now, ultimately, where this maybe hurt the Texans this year or this past year won't hurt the Broncos. The Texans got a first-place schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos finished third in the AFC West last year.
So their schedule does not get much harder.
Listen to how they open up the season. Tennessee at home, rookie quarterback, making his first start in Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
At the Colts, I literally don't care if it's Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson. They are probably getting through that game. At the Chargers, Bengals, at Eagles, at Jets, Giants, Cowboys, at the Texans, Raiders, Chiefs, and then their bye week in week 12.
You know what's kind of hilarious?
Hmm.
I looked at the schedule and kind of picked it apart.
Mm-hmm.
They played a second-place schedule.
Are they playing a second-place schedule?
Last year they played a second-place schedule.
Oh, last year. Last year, yes.
That says more about what the Chargers and Raiders were that year
mm-hmm.
prior before, more than it does about Denver.
Also one of those things, too, where the schedule always looks a little bit more daunting at times before the season starts, or it always looks either daunting or not before the season starts, and it'll usually level out somewhere.
And even then, knowing the teams that were going in, it didn't really look all that daunting.
No, but it ultimately was a second-place schedule. But this year, I mean, right there. And at that Week 3 game, 4-0-5 at the Chargers, I kind of like that.
It will talk.
That's going to be a big early game to see who's making that step forward.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's going to possibly help shift the it'll help set the tone, so to say, of where the West might shake out this year
mm-hmm.
and how it might end up being going forward. I don't necessarily know if I believe in Denver more than I would, for example, the Chargers. But I also don't trust the Chargers every couple of years to do the thing that they're supposed to do. L.A., by the way, you mentioned that Week 3. L.A. plays three straight West teams to open their year. So we will find out very quickly if the Chargers have the gas.
Yeah, they won't have to go out east. They won't have to have any of the weird kickoffs.
It's three divisional games right in a row.
Three divisional games to start?
Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos. It's three divisional games right in a row.
I don't love that. I'd hate that as a
Bills
fan.
Go 1-2, the tone has not been set proper, and you've been bodied around within your own division.
Yep.
If you somehow lose to the Raiders,
oh, yeah. Then we're having conversations about the Chargers.
Then we're having very different conversations about the Chargers.
Actually, we're not having any conversations probably about the Chargers then.
Yeah, you know, if they start
they become a team that has to earn everyone's respect again
because
in
they chargered.
December. Yeah.
Because you chargered again.
And then we'll be having Bengals last year.
Yep.
Start 0-3. And for most of the season, up until they win five games to end the year, we're all sitting there going, don't talk. They're dead. I don't care about them. Move on. The whole thing. They win five to make it interesting.
And it turns into, what do you mean you're not dead?
Right. Now, with Denver, I mean, that's the thing. They should be Tennessee and the Colts. They should, just flat out. They should go into that game against Chargers 2-0. You win that 3-0, the conversation about the Chargers, or about the Broncos, could end up being already that they've moved into the upper echelon of the AFC. With Baltimore, with Kansas City, with Buffalo, because they would have beaten the Chargers. That's a divisional opponent. That's arguably the opponent they're most compared to in their division, even in the AFC in general, just who they're most compared to because they're right there with each other. You get one up on them, you start moving forward. But I think you're right because the point you brought up right at the start, how good is Bo Nix really?
And that's a question that has to get answered. How good is he really?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for all these year two quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels already being thrust into top five conversations. How good is he really?
I know, I'm so nervous because I like Daniels, but I'm like, we literally just saw Stroud have a regression in year two.
And that's the thing how good is a player really?
But we've also had guys pop off in year two. Lamar and Carson Wentz when he was getting big. Even Allen to a certain extent. It's not the year three jump he had, but year two was a significant jump from 1 to 2. There was no regression. It was all progression. It's not linear,
right.
But it doesn't always mean guys are always going to have that bad jump back. But Last year, he had a good season. He almost threw 600 passes, 66 completion percentage, just shy of 3,800 yards, 29 touchdowns, 12 picks. You know, his QB rating's 56.8, passer rating 93.3. He was so good last year. A lot of that also was he was 24 years old and started a ton in college, which is a conversation we've had a little bit, and I know I kind of want to have that conversation a little bit later in the week as well when it comes to goalies. But, like, Nix has started so much. So, like, a part of me also looks at him and goes, he's already got his process that he does down.
But if he's not—
and he started 17 games for them. He started a playoff game. Like, there is something to— he's now been there and done this. He's going to be 25 in year two.
And that's the thing. If he has already gotten— like, if he's pretty much like his processes are his processes, is he who he is already? And that's not good enough.
That's not good enough.
That's a high floor, low ceiling type quarterback, and you are not going to threaten to become on the next echelon within the conference if you have a high floor, low ceiling type.
Right. You look at a guy like a Mac Jones. Didn't have totally similar stats, but kind of did. 10-7, played all 17 games, 67.6 completion percentage, 3,800 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks. And his QB rating, I'm sorry, his passer rating, 92.5, QB rating, 56.9.
These numbers actually sound very similar.
Very similar. The touchdowns were a little bit more, but we've already mentioned that too. The last game of the year for Nix, when he's playing the backups, he pops off.
Yeah, he
has a wonderful game.
He has a little bit of a statistical bump that probably is, not even probably, that is above average from what he was doing throughout the entire year.
Yeah, 26 for 29, 321, and four touchdowns.
More touchdowns than incompletions.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it does look like one of these things of, is he who he is? How good is he really? Mm-hmm. So Denver is a fascinating conversation to have because there is potential around the roster. But it ultimately ends up on the question of how good is Bo Nix really? And we do need to find that out. Everyone would love to find that out and have that answer to that question.
It's tough. I mentioned it before. I was not a big Bo Nix guy when he was coming out of Oregon. I hated him at Auburn. He was a better quarterback at Oregon, but I hated him at Auburn. It's also a bad system for him. Gus Malzahn should not lead anyone's quarterback room. But I think there is more to him. Like with Mac Jones coming out of Alabama was like an improved version of A.J. McCarron. Like, he was exactly the quarterback Nick Saban had for a lot of those years. Not Tua and Jalen Hurts. Like, it was Mac Jones. It was Greg McElroy. It was A.J. McCarron. Like, those are very particular guys. And Jones, I think we all kind of saw, was drafted higher than he ever should have been. He did not have the elite trait anywhere that made you think he could pop off or and get better. Bo Nix, I think, does. Bo has a good arm. He's a good athlete. And then he's now started multiple games. I think there is more for Nix, but that is going to be the conversation to have. I think he's in a good spot, though, with Sean Payton being his head coach, what he did with Drew Brees and everything like that. And also, he kind of seemingly like handpicked Bo Nix of those rookies. He seemed to really like him, and I think that's also partially he was older. He's run near NFL systems for years now. He can come in and just run my system and be fine.
There is also
a
difference.
But man, there is. It's always uncomfortable with second-year quarterbacks because you brought up Jaden Daniels too. Are we really going to push him into MVP conversations already? Are we sure?
How good is – and that with all second-year quarterbacks, how good are you really? And I do think, like, you're right. You don't want to bring Mac Jones into the Bo Nix conversation because there are differences about them already. You mentioned that there are elite traits that Nix has that Jones never did. And going into their draft days – Jones was seen as high floor, low ceiling. Like, that's what he was called.
And, like, people, like, partially meant that as an insult, too.
Yes.
That's the worst part. Meant as an insult.
They were right. Bo Nix never had that said about him, though.
No, it's right.
Like, there is still some potential there. There is a higher ceiling than versus Mac Jones would ever have.
Really, it came down to, how much is the Oregon offense actually setting you up for success? That was the thing with Marcus Mariota, too, when he was coming up all those years ago. Oregon always kind of has this feeling of, is that actually setting you up for success? Like, LSU has now entered that category of, they're setting you up for success.
Right.
Like, their quarterback this year, Garrett Nussmeier, is going to be high up there. Funny enough, his dad, I'm blanking on his name, but his dad is the offense coordinator for the Saints. That'll be a fun story to keep an eye on. But that's become a thing that there are certain places you feel comfortable drafting their quarterbacks because of how their offensive systems work. Same with Clemson with Cade Klubnik. Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence ran those systems really well in the at those schools. Klubnik is going to be kind of the same thing, where like USC for a long time kind of had this stigma of you probably want to draft them. Michigan, Ohio State quarterbacks, you didn't. Like, they did not run pro systems. You did not like it.
So we talked about the Bengals in the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I are on the same page about them. Until they get their organization out of distress, I can't take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I know somebody tweeted in with the answer of the Bengals. But until they get that organization out of distress, based on their management style, the chaos that they've been mm-hmm. really causing upon themselves, I can't take Cincinnati seriously until they make the postseason again and have a defense that can be respected. But now come other teams we have to start asking about. What about last year's darling, Houston? Houston went through major regression for C.J. Stroud. I also think a lot of that had to do with that offensive line that they put together that they've all dismissed.
Yeah, it's still not a good O-line.
It's not a good O-line, but also the positive is it's not last year's O-line.
Right, that's fair.
The personnel that played last year will not play this year. That's a good thing. For better or for worse, it's still at least a good thing that that offensive line that we know is bad
mm-hmm.
is not going to be there. Good. Could the replacements be worse?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's the opposite of the devil you know, the devil you
mm-hmm,
don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil you know is the offensive line is cheeks, and you need to move on from it.
Yeah, it's been bad for a
it's
while.
It's been bad. We need to fix this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares if the players that we got in are worse? Because then at minimum, we're doing the same thing that we'd have to do anyway, which is fix it.
Yeah.
But good for them for starting to do that. Even if it was like, oh, who did you even bring in to replace them? I don't care. They're not the names that were up there last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the Texans should still have some consideration because sometimes you also don't expect a team to take that rise, and that's when they do it.
It could also be a team like Jacksonville. New head coach. You add Travis Hunter in.
You find out this year if Trevor Lawrence has the goods.
That's the thing. We've seen there's been flashes with Lawrence of like, okay, I can see why you were considered a generational guy. I get it. And if Liam Cohen hits, and to be fair, what he did in Tampa, I mean, we're at a point now, Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback, if not very good quarterback. I think that's almost inarguable. He threw 41 touchdowns last year. He's been awesome for Tampa. I think they're probably the favorite to win that division as well.
It is just 2 years ago that Jacksonville is expected to be that next team.
Exactly. It's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago. And then Houston took their place. I do want to consider Houston for this because C.J. Stroud, while he did take a step back, he is still very good.
Mm-hmm.
At minimum, and they do have some solid weapons to that core. With Nico Collins leading the way there, yeah, you lost Stephon Diggs due to that injury. You lose Tank Dell to another injury, and he will never be the same player again.
I just wonder if he's even going to play this year.
Yeah.
I think that's probably an outside shot.
And if he does, he'll never be the same player that he was,
which is a shame
because that's only 2 years in. Like, that's heartbreaking stuff.
I'm not gonna act like it's all over, but he is such a fun player, and it also felt like he was sort of opening the door for a lot of smaller receivers, but elite route runners and pop speed to
technicians
to get more of a bump here. And then now kind of like the worst case scenario, which is, and these injuries are not because he's a smaller guy, but you're going to see injuries to a guy that's 5'8 and if he was 6 foot,
I'd say one of them was man sent out blocking.
Yeah, that's right. The first one. Rookie year. That's right. The second one.
Just terrible luck.
Yeah. That was the big thing. Is like, why are you sending out 5'8 Tank Dell to block?
Yes, because the controversy was not about him. It was about the coach.
Yeah, that's
deploying
right.
him to do that. But Houston still needs to be considered. Jacksonville is a dark horse of a team that, like, 2 years ago they were supposed to be that team, that ascending talent, and then. The other team that is worthy of mentioning probably is the Chargers.
Yeah, we mentioned a lot of Denver there, but right, if they win that Week 3 game.
But L.A., and this is – I don't have a better answer for this than it's a vibes thing for me.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I don't trust the Chargers as an organization to not go ahead every 2 or 3 years, punch themselves in the groin.
Yeah, have a lot of buildup and then absolutely fall flat.
After having all expectations on you. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their thing. And – even when they moved to L.A., it's still their thing.
Yeah, it never went away.
The quarterbacks, the personnel, everything changed. But when the expectations are highest on them, or they are higher, the Chargers love to trip themselves at the top of the stairs.
I think there's also kind of a conversation, not just about the Chargers, but maybe it might be just like the overall Chargers thing. You know, Herbert 2-3 years ago was considered, I mean, he was on the Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow.
He was on a trajectory.
And he was that guy. And like everyone knew it. And sure, he was like Mr. What If, but most people acknowledge like, oh man, if Miami took him, look where they'd be. Like
but
the whole thing.
But now he is if man.
Yeah, now it truly is. It's not just a meme. It's a genuine like, okay, guys, enough. Like we've now seen him with a good coach. We've seen him in multiple playoff games. Like this has been bad. He threw what, 3 picks all year last year in the regular season? He threw 4 in a playoff game against Houston. By the way, Houston winning 2 playoff games in the last 2 years, almost entirely off of turnovers. They did the same thing to Joe Flacco 2 years ago.
That's right.
I mean, good for them. It's all been at home. But, like, two playoff games in a row. How does that happen where they're just like, we're going to take the hottest quarterback or one of the hottest quarterbacks and not turning over the ball, and we're going to absolutely make a mincemeat?
They did also have a pretty good divisional game a couple of years back. Houston did.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was dreadful watching that game, but that had more to do with Kansas City than it did Houston. Because
their game against Baltimore 2 years ago. Yeah.
But Kansas City just sucked fun out of everybody last year.
It's kind of their thing.
But the Chargers are a team that, you know, you went 11-6. Like, you should get some mention here. You should get some shine. Zach, I want you to ask me about a different team in the AFC North. Just ask me the question.
No.
Say it. Just so I can say this answer.
Is there another team in the AFC North you think could do it?
What other team in the AFC North?
There we go. Okay. I got nervous there.
I wanted you to say, what about the Steelers? And then I was going to go, what about the Steelers?
I was getting very nervous. I'm like, please don't do this. Speaking of them, though, in 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join the conversation.
If you say the Steelers, you need a hug. You're wrong, but you need a hug.
You need a hug. Again, topic of today, who, if anyone, do you think will join the trio of Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo at the top of the AFC? We've got a few tweets in. Denver from Dave. DP had the Bengals saying if they finish strong, or they finished strong last season, if they get off to a good start, could be in the mix for the top AFC seed. And then John concurs with that. Watch out for a healthy Joe Burrow. The division will be a dogfight. It usually is. That is just usually very correct. The AFC North, no matter how bad some teams are, those games are close. I think Cincinnati could win the division. That's the funny thing.
Healthy Joe Burrow has not stopped them from starting
slow. That's the thing. I think that's more of a Zach Taylor thing.
It's a Zach Taylor thing.
I think they just got ready. They get off to slow starts. Partially, though, Burrow's also missed a lot of training camp. And that could be something, too, of like they're not getting out of rhythm. You mentioned the New England game. They only scored 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a little bit of just, are they not in a rhythm yet because he hasn't had the reps in training camp? We don't know. We've kind of moved away from preseason games being the rep stuff. It is much more the practices.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where we've gotten, but you do wonder about that. I will say, though, man, if the AFC North is always interesting. After last year, I have a hard time seeing Cincinnati beating Baltimore for the division.
I don't trust a team whose locker room is that openly upset with management.
Yeah, where they're at currently, it's the vibes are not good there. I don't want to say the vibes are incredible in Baltimore either, but it's certainly not that.
The vibes are pretty good in Baltimore, though. That's the thing. You can have a certain level of discontent from the locker room toward management and still succeed.
Mm-hmm.
What the Bengals have is almost open rebellion.
Yeah, that is a storyline I'm excited to see in training camp, is what does go on with Trey Hendrickson. Does he report?
And Shamar Stewart.
Shamar, oh man. Yeah, they've got a lot of
issues. If you have two holdouts, ask the Steelers what a promising, talented team can have happen to them when there's discord in the locker room.
Yeah. 803-0550. Again, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We're on till 12 o'clock. Sabres Live will have you then. This is WGR.